Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, EdTech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. This is Digital Learning Today, a brand new show from the TeacherCast Educational Network, where we are going to take a look at technology and digital learning integration from the curricular standpoint. And today is no exception. Today, we're going to be tackling two very popular topics that we were recently discussing at FETC. Esports and artificial intelligence. My guest today is going to be discussing how one company is tackling esports, helping support school districts, not only on the hardware side, but on the safety side. And also, is there room in esports for artificial intelligence? Stick around to the end of the episode, or we get into that very subject. And I hope you guys are having a great time today. I hope you had an opportunity to check out our brand new website, teachercast.net. We have been really hard at work creating a brand new landing page for everything. All of our content is getting up there, hundreds of blog posts, hundreds of podcasts, all up there. And we have recently launched our brand new newsletter. Everything is coming back to life. If you're looking for information about digital learning, technology integration, Google, Microsoft, how to make an audio podcast, how to create a website, or marketing and branding, that is an amazing website. And I want to say thank you guys for supporting it and checking it out. This is our 13th year of TeacherCast, and we're doing some really good things. So don't forget to check it out over on teachercast.net today. My guest today has been in education for the last 12 years, primarily as an educator, but more recently, she's the general manager and director of smart education solutions for a fantastic company called Lenovo. I want to bring on today my guest, Ms. Christine Steller-Foss. Christine, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Jeff. I'm happy to be here.
It is so great to have you, especially this time of year. You know, we just got done the FETC conference. All eyes right now are looking towards Denver for the ISTE conference coming up. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And most importantly, what is this world of ed tech looking like for you?
Sure. So I started out as an educator. As you said, I taught in a before and after school program, married to a husband who teaches seventh grade history. So education's always been front of mind. When I left the classroom, I moved into ed tech, was doing product work in curriculum development, and then found a wonderful opportunity at Lenovo to take some of the things that I learned on how schools were using technology and wanted to be able to really help adoption of that technology and some of the challenges that I saw in online curriculum and how I might be able to push that along from a different perspective.
And you now have the opportunity to work with school districts nationwide, worldwide, basically. What are some of the things that school districts are looking for these days?
I think a lot of schools are looking for ways to really manage not only their devices, but security, how they can really also keep students engaged and not just behind a screen, but how can they leverage the technology while also doing more of what might be considered traditional. So really figuring out how to tap into the students and leverage technology in the best way they can while still having a personal interaction with those students.
And that's so hard these days. I mean, school districts are trying to push forward. New technologies are coming out. We have, esports, we have VR, we have AI, we have all these wonderful things that are coming out today. Yet school districts still have to work in a world where some of the teachers have, some of the teachers can, some of the teachers aren't there yet. How do you suggest school districts navigate today's ed tech landscape?
I think it really comes down to looking at what your goals are for your school and your district and your students, and then looking at the technology out there and learning about it. And I think that's an area where we see opportunity to help out, right? We've just launched some professional development services, some consulting to help schools really optimize their IT spend and look at how they're leveraging the devices or the software and best set up their classrooms and how they're managing them across the whole district so that they can hit some of those points while still being more flexible and being able to try out some of those new technologies.
You know, recently you and I were both at FETC, a fantastic conference. I'll stop there and ask, what did you think of it? What was it like to be in Florida? 10,000 people. How was your conference?
It was really exciting. I saw a lot of really great stuff. Esports was a huge topic across the board. I did see a lot of, you know, different things with VR and 3D printing still. And I think it's really great to see how all these different things can come together into a classroom setting.
One of the things that I got out of it, both on the vendor floor and also just working around to the different sessions, even with all the new technologies that are coming out, I'll call it, you know, the bells, whistles, and toys, there's still that focus on curriculum and making sure that everything that we're doing in the classroom has a purpose, has a standard behind it. How are you and your team helping school districts keep those standards in mind as they're trying to figure out where we are in this technology landscape?
Well, I think one area where we're really trying to look into the future of how we can incorporate curriculum, and it's not something we have yet, but it's something that I have a focus on, especially with my background in curriculum development, is how we can tie esports into some of those career technology aspects. And I know a lot of the really great benefits of esports are some of those soft skills and some of those career skills that get pulled in. So trying to really develop how that ties for the longer term is a vision that I have.
One of the things that I noticed at FETC is this concept of, you know, and I got to say here, sometimes I'm doing this show as the podcaster, sometimes I'm doing it as the teacher, but sometimes I'm doing this as the dad. Yep. What is the difference between playing video games in the classroom and esports?
Sure. So I think a lot of it is around how they work as a team together. So esports is great for building team development and communication skills, actually work together to build the best team to actually win a competition versus when you're video gaming and you're doing it really kind of solo. You might be working with a group and you might be doing things online with some friends, but there's not that complete aspect of a team and really being able to drive that perspective of it. And so I think there's a little bit of difference there in how it is, but it's so similar that it's great to pull in kids who might not find a home in other areas of their school community.
If a school district's looking to put their toe in the water of esports, is this a simple thing? Do they need to go out and buy furniture? Like what does a school district have to do to start that conversation and you know, create something like this? It's intimidating to see esports and the first thing you see are the chairs and the 75 chairs,
the lights, right? And all the things.
It's all about the neon, right? But it's about the students, right? So how do we get started?
You know, I've seen schools get started with even handheld gaming devices, like bring your own devices, I've seen as a starting point, where really what they need is just a supportive teacher who can be their coach and pull them together and start really kind of building the community aspect and getting them to understand how to work together to achieve the goals within the game. As you start getting farther along, that's where you can start looking at the devices. And there's all sorts of devices you can use. We've had people use workstations so that they have a consistent computer lab experience through the daytime and after school. But we also have more mature programs that are really going for our flashy Legion to get the full gaming experience and make sure that they have the right graphics cards and all of those aspects for response time and those things. But I think to start out, you don't need the high end, right? You can build into that and really start with just getting kids who are interested pulled together and working on that common goal.
Well, let's take a moment and take a step back here. Pretend that you're speaking to somebody who knows nothing about esports, me for a second here. Is this something that a school district needs to be investing in, pardon the French here, computer hardware, or is this game console hardware? Does an IT department need to be worrying about, spam and virus protection and all? Give us the dollar amount. Like, what are we looking for here?
So I think the biggest concern with setting it up from an IT perspective is going to be the game itself and having the games get updated. They get updated frequently, which can be hard on your infrastructure. And so for instance, we sell a PictiBoot server that'll allow you to have all of that on that one server away from the rest of your network so that you can keep the games updated. You can have everything running smoothly and wonderfully without hitting your base or infrastructure. So there's ways that you can definitely put it in kind of a bubble and have it so that you can have that infrastructure supporting it.
At what point in this conversation does a teacher or a program need to bring their IT department in? If I'm a teacher and I'm starting up a gaming club.
Really right ahead. Yeah, right in the front, because all those websites, you're going to have to whitelist. You know, there's a lot of the aspects of how to really enable it and make sure that the kids can access the games, can sign in, can log in without it, you know, being held up by the firewall. So it does have an IT conversation right up front.
That's interesting. I'm looking at this from that parent side of it. It's not just plug in your PS5 or your Xbox and grab as many controllers as you want. You really do need to have this be a school district conversation to make sure that it's all safe.
Yeah, for sure.
At what point do you need to start looking for equipment and bigger things? And let's say you wanted to have an esports tournament. What opportunities do school districts have to bring in something to make the area, you know, look professional and look impressive?
So we've launched a service at Lenovo that allows a district or a league to rent a whole up to 100 devices of all matching kits. It's all the top of the line Legion devices, and they can have it set up for a tournament play so that we come up, you know, we can come in, do all the installation, the setup, have it so that it's almost an esports tournament in a box. So that's one way that you can start with some of the larger things. If you wanted to have an event, we've had, you know, one event so far at a university that they were able to set up a pretty large event with 80 computers, 16 universities were there. It was a huge opportunity for that school to have student engagement and have a large event where they were able to have all these varsity esports teams at the university level compete. And that was a really big deal.
I think on the outside, many people still look at this as kids playing games. And for many, that is a great thing. How do you support students bringing those experiences back into the curriculum? How do you tie the standards into students with controllers?
Well, I know I've talked to some districts who are engaging with their, you know, marketing classes to be able to do some of the marketing for events or for the team. I've heard of schools using their graphic design classes to be able to develop the logos. And so there's ways to kind of tie in what the students are doing in esports as a team into career goals. And there's a lot that they can do. There's shoutcasting at the events that can lead into broadcasting. There's all sorts of different aspects that can go into some of the career development, as well as being able to just, you know, like I'd mentioned, working as a team on a common goal on how to win a tournament or a play of a game. So tying it into the curriculum, it gets a little creative. You do have to be a little bit creative, but as you watch what the students have to do to really support their team, you start finding some of those aspects that can be pulled into different curriculum aspects.
Now, if a teacher is starting off as an esports coach, manager, person?
Yeah, coach.
What training do you suggest that they do?
I don't even know if I'm the best to answer that question. I know who is, but I'm like, we have people here, and actually I have a friend who's one of the first he's been leading some of the esports in Fairfax County that I could talk to and get a good answer for. But I'm not sure I have the exact, here's the step to do it. It's
sounds
not
like,
the
experience. Sounds like a second podcast here, Christine.
It does.
I've had the opportunity to work with some of the more well-known esports teachers. You know, I have one of my good friends, Chris Avilas in New Jersey. He's killing it down there in South Jersey with all of his stuff. I've had him on the show before talking about these things. And, you know, every time I turn around, Chris is in the news for his esports stuff. there's just more and more opportunities out there. I mean, I know obviously, look, you can do a Google search, you can go on YouTube and stuff like that, but you know, there are organizations out there. I know ISTE does a lot of great things with esports. FETC, of course, is big for esports. There's a lot of organizations out there that are supporting teachers in their professional development. I got to ask, from your point of view at Lenovo, where do you see the future of this? Is it equipment wise, right? Is it bigger screens? Is it 3D? Is it you know, is there an AR VR component to all this? What does the future look like from a hardware standpoint and from a software standpoint?
From a hardware standpoint, I think that you're going to continue to see some of the handhelds. You know, we even have a handheld that's kind of like a, you know, the Switch. And so I think there's a space for that, especially when you're looking at the youngers and getting some of the, you know, middle school or even elementary school kids into something like this. And then as you go up into varsity levels, I think that's where you start looking at the, you know, the bigger deal devices and getting those, the hardware that can really run the graphics cards. That's always the biggest deal, is having something that can run the graphics cards, stay cool, you know, and keep up with the gameplay so that you're not lagging.
And do you find that most school districts are purchasing this type of equipment, or are these rentals?
Most are purchasing, and you can purchase either a tower or a laptop. There, you know, the devices are pretty amazing for both laptop and towers to be able to do it. So I don't think you need to consider having an entire, you know, realm of the huge towers, but I think there are lots of opportunities for schools to be flexible and still hit the needs of their students.
We're going to make sure that we have links to all of these equipments and PD offerings, and all the stuff is going to be over in our blog post for this particular podcast. So check out TeacherCast today and make sure that you do a big search for esports and Lenovo. We will make sure that everything that we're discussing is available for you guys. And don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button on this show and on our newsletter. Christine, as we start to look forward to the end of the, it's funny I said that in March, as we're looking forward to the end of the year, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show, we're all eyes are on Denver, right? Yeah. 20,000, 15,000, 25,000 educators are all going to be coming together for the ISTE conference. I'm assuming that you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. It's going to be my 12th or 13th time there. What are you looking forward to, both as a vendor, as somebody who works in ed tech, but just as an educator? What do you look for? What do you see? Where do you go? How do you personally handle a conference that size?
I love looking at all the startups. I like to see what's coming, right? Like, what are people really looking at in the startup area? That's always a favorite spot for me to check out. Mm-hmm. I, like everyone else, is you know, I'm really looking forward to hearing what is said about AI. I think it's such an interesting conversation. It's still moving. It's still so fluid that I'm dying to hear what people have to say about AI, how they want to use it in the classroom, how they see it really transforming education or not. You know, I want to hear those conversations and see what's out there around those topics. And then, of course, checking out just all the different the newer technologies. I love looking at the interesting things people are doing with either VR, 3D printing, and then just hearing conversations. That's what I love to, you know, just have those conversations and hear what schools are trying to do and what teachers are trying to do and the student outcomes they're really driving for and how we might be able to develop new solutions to help those.
It's always said here on the show that the best conference sessions are the ones that happen in the hallway. The ones that you just sit there and you don't even realize, but you walk past somebody, you kind of hear something and you, oh, hey, let's talk about AI for a while. Yeah. When you're having your conversations with your team, where do you see, and you could be singular, but you could also be plural here. Where do you see AI going? I mean, some schools are plowing for it. Yeah. Some schools are looking around the corner and some schools are like, not yet. What advice do you have?
I think from a personal perspective, I think AI has a lot of opportunity to help teachers to, you know, take off some of the workload tasks that are easy to automate, right? I always love the conversations of why is AI making art when it could be doing like my emails? You know, I think there's a lot to be said for the automation that AI can bring and being able to take some tasks like my husband uses it to translate some of his lessons for students who don't have English as a first language. He doesn't speak Farsi, but he can absolutely use AI to do better translation than we were, you know, we had maybe 2 years ago in Google or something else. So there's ways that it can be leveraged there. I think there's personalization of learning that can be coming out. And I think that it's going to probably lead us to teaching kids how to ask better questions to get better results from the AI. You know, you have to have the right prompt if you get the right response. And so I think it's a whole new skill set that's going to have to be taught.
It was interesting. Right before recording this, I was in a community call with another PD company, and they spent 45 minutes on an icebreaker that was all teaching kids how to respond to prompts that they gave, right? So it's the follow-up questions, okay? It's one thing to say, please write me a paragraph on, but after it spits that out, how do you then follow that up with that? So, you know, you're teaching these kids how to have a conversation with themselves with the computer.
Yeah. They have to almost figure out how to write their own rubrics.
Yeah. That's difficult.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole new skill set that we haven't really taught, you know, historically to students.
It's hard to get them to talk to ask the first question. And now we're asking them to you know, I think
ask the next 10.
How do you ask the next 10 questions to refine it? But even from, like, you know, I'm trying to figure this stuff out. It's not easy. You know, I recently just redid all of my podcast descriptions, and it was like, okay, take this paragraph I've already written and expand on it in 3 or 4 paragraphs, no more than 150 words, et cetera, et cetera. And it did a great job, but I'm going, can I do better? I don't know if I can do better. Have you had a chance to mess around with AI? Do you have any advice for teachers who are also trying to dip in their water? Is there an AI esports marriage yet?
Not yet. You know, that's something I'm looking forward to, is how we might be able to leverage that technology to help with different aspects of gaming, what even for just like a predictive maintenance sort of way, right? Like, how can we make it so that we can tell you that something's going to go wrong before it does, so that you can be proactive? So I haven't had as much time to sit down and really play with the generative AI as I'd like to, but I've used it to, you know, simplify some of my own work tasks on things that are kind of monotonous, and have the AI do it. And then I can just edit at the end. You know, I still will take the time and read through it and fix things to be a little bit more like how I would say it, but it's a really great starting point for some things in my own career.
I noticed the other day, my kids are trying some of the free AI tools that are out there that, you know, occasionally I'm going to say in air quotes, forget to block them for the class period just to see if the kids are going to be playing with it. And some of them are wonderful. Some of them don't have any support versus, and I'll just give the shout out to Microsoft. As soon as they're done with their Copilot prompt, it says right on there, this is not a complete thing. You need to go check this. Please make sure that you're using your own work. And it's just interesting because the kids are taking the ones that are, you know, free and out there, and they're just going copy and paste. Whereas when you look at the other stuff, it's, oh yeah, I now have homework, right? Like, I've done this, now I have homework.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to leveraging Copilot more. I was reading a lot of about what they've been bringing into the updates, especially around education, and it looks really exciting.
It's pretty awesome. I've had the opportunity now. I paid for it for my business account here for a while, and when you have an email thread of 15 to 20 emails and you can in one button just go summarize everything.
Yeah.
Or, amazing. You know, even for a show like this, here's 15 or 20 emails, find the email that has the link and give me all the important links for this show. And if that alone saves me 20 minutes a week, I'm awesome with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. AI is not going to go anywhere. So I think it's figuring out how we all want to use it to simplify your life.
Talking today to Christine Steller-Foss, all about esports, artificial intelligence, and what the landscape of ed tech is. I want to ask you one last question here before I let you go. You know, we are, of course, looking ahead to 24-25. Mm-hmm. Again, the parent in me is just taking a deep breath at that one, right? They're going to be in fifth grade. Let's just say it together. They're going to be in fifth grade. Where do you see this next year, right? You've got a little bit of the inside track. You got the Lenovo behind you. Where and what are we going to be talking about this time next year?
Well, I think that it's all going to depend on where we land with AI and if we have a clear view of how schools are going to be using it or not using it. I don't think that that conversation is going to be done yet. I think it's going to continue to spin in figuring out how to best use it, how to keep our students' data secure as we're using it. And so I think those are some of the aspects that are really going to come up and continue to come up for probably the next year. I think it's going to be a heavy AI year. You know, we've had a lot of the buzz, but we haven't figured out the what yet.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the school districts are still trying to wrestle with the why.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
How to keep it all safe.
Right. And I've done a lot of shows where people are like, oh yes, it's great to do automated da 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 da. But as somebody who has worked in central office and who has been a district level leader, if somebody walks in and goes, this thing that you know nothing about is going to automate everything that you do, I'm not scared for my job. I'm scared for the backup, the safety, the systems, all of that stuff that I've built. And so it's interesting. And this is right now, I think this is the fifth podcast we've done since FETC on the subject of AI. I'm trying to hit it from as many topics as possible. But it's still a scary subject for those who are in the trenches of a school district, not in this world. Yeah. For somebody like an instructional coach to say, oh yeah, put this little thing in this prompt and it'll redesign an entire Excel spreadsheet for you. Those are scary things. And I'm curious to see which districts are going to push forward with that and which districts are not. And you know, all the stuff that Google's popping out with, Microsoft's popping out with, you name it, it's going to be popping out with. It's going to be interesting to see where we are in 12 months. Christine, I want to say thank you so much for coming on today. Where can we learn more about the great stuff happening over at Lenovo?
Really, you can just head over to Lenovo.com and look up the education topic, and you can find out a lot about what we're doing. It's really exciting, and it's great to be able to support schools and educators. Thanks so much for having me.
And please come back on. We clearly have other topics to hit. So let's just call this part one. And we want to hope that you guys show up for this and all of our shows. Don't forget to head on over to teachercast.net. We recently redesigned the entire platform. So check it out today. Brand new shows, brand new website, brand new experience, and a lot more professional development on the way. So don't forget to head on over to teachercast.net today and hit that like and subscribe button. And that wraps up this episode of Digital Learning Today. On behalf of Christine Steller-Foss and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.